Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or perhaps you've begun attending just recently. We're very pleased that you're with us. We want to express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. And those who attend regularly will be looking around for faces we don't know to extend that wish to you and to welcome you. Now, one way to become a part of our family here is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through the congregation. You look at your bulletin insert and you will find lots of opportunities to be involved in what God is doing. I'm going to lift up a few right now. First of all, our Habitat build is coming up and we still have a few slots for volunteers. If you would like to volunteer for one of the dates we still have open, there's a table in Reed Hall. You can do that right after the service. Also, our book collection for Henderson Settlement continues through the end of the month, and we are especially in need of children's books. So if you have books that you no longer read to your children or grandchildren that you would like to share with other children who might not have access to them, please bring them by before the end of September. Our volunteer training for Launchpad is at 1:30 this afternoon in McWhorter Hall. You may have heard Zach Kelly's wonderful witness last week. Launchpad is very similar to Room in the Inn in that it provides housing, but it is specifically for LGBTQ young adults. If you would like to be involved in that ministry, the training is this afternoon, 1:30, McWhorter Hall. Also, our all-church picnic is at 5 p.m. at Buster and Kathy Shull's house. There will be bouncy houses for children, and rumor has it that you'll have the opportunity to dunk in a dunking tank one old bearded senior pastor who shall remain nameless. So come on out and do your best, I dare you. I've got my taunts ready, okay? Also, at 5 p.m. this afternoon here in the sanctuary, we have our regular Tizay service. Now, if you've never attended a Tizay service, it is a time of quiet, of prayer, of singing, and might just be the right antidote to that noisy, busy life that most of us live. And in fact, today, you could come to Tizay and then come join us at the picnic if you would like to do that. So we're offering both those opportunities, and I hope you will take us up on one or both of those. You can read more about them in your bulletin insert. Oh, by the way, the money that you will be donating in your futile attempts to dunk me will go to purchase a washer and dryer for the Habitat House. So, did you ever know someone who was kind of a rascal, but also sort of charming? We had a cat like that once, Tobias. Tobias was the bad boy that everybody loved. Well, in today's scripture, we meet another one of those bad boys, or maybe we'll let you decide whether he's a bad boy or just a pretty shrewd boy. Just stick around, see if you fall in love with him.
Praise ye the Lord, shout to the Lord, hallelujah. gather together to celebrate the joy in our lives.
God's love fills our hearts to overflowing with laughter.
We gather in God's presence to find comfort and hope for our pain.
God's grace wipes away our tears and knits us together as one people.
We gather together in God's presence to worship God in faith and truth. Alleluia. Amen. The Lord God has called us to move onward towards perfection, to love God and neighbor with all of our being. Though we often stumble on this path to perfection, we serve a God ready, willing, and quick to forgive. Let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying together. Everlasting God, we confess how we have not lived as your people. We serve many masters, work, wealth, power, addictions, yet find no hope in them. We hear the cries of the poor and shut the doors of our hearts to them. We ridicule those who expose their hopes and dreams to us. Forgive us, compassion's heart, and heal us of our brokenness. Make us well, so that by our healing, we might be the hope and love others need in their lives. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. We are God's beloved children, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that, when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted so shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is done, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to come down. If it would make you feel better to bring a parent or grandparent, that's okay too. If you feel more comfortable sitting in your seat listening, that's all right. I want to tell you a story that I heard when I was a little boy, and it's about my Uncle Rupert. My Uncle Rupert was my mother's youngest brother. He was the youngest in the family, and he was always very tender-hearted. He always felt what other people felt and didn't want anybody to be hurt, have their feelings hurt, be made fun of, be bullied. And so she told me this story about my Uncle Rupert when he was probably about your age, close to your age. He was in school, and in that same school, there was a little boy that the other kids didn't think was very smart. And so they made fun of him, they picked on him, they played tricks on him. We would call that bullying today. I'm not sure if they did then, but it was not nice at all. One of their favorite tricks was that they would take a nickel, which is worth 5 cents, and a dime, which is worth 10 cents. And they would have a nickel in one hand and a dime in the other. They'd go offer him both coins, and he would always choose the nickel, even though it was only worth half what the dime was. And they thought that was so funny that he was not smart enough to know that that little dime was worth more than that big nickel. And I mean, sometimes those boys would fall over themselves to reach in their pockets and get nickels and dimes out and offer them to him so they could make fun of him. Well, after a while, my Uncle Rupert got tired of it. He went to the boy and he said, "You know, those mean boys are making fun of you." He said, "When they hold out a nickel and a dime, you always take the nickel. And don't you know that a nickel is only worth half what a dime is?" And the boy said, "Well, Rupert, I know that. But if I took the dime, they wouldn't offer again." He was smarter than they were. He was taking their nickels one after another. They thought he was not so smart, but they were the ones who weren't so smart. Well, we just heard a story about someone who was smart in that same way, a story that Jesus told, and I'm going to be telling some other stories about people who are smart. One word for it is shrewd. Someone like that boy who tricked the people who were trying to trick him. One of our words for it is shrewd. And so we're going to hear some more stories about people who are shrewd in the way they try to do what God wants them to do. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us love and laughter. Thank you for allowing us to have the kind of smarts that you want us to have so that we can do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, now this is a quirky and perplexing little story, isn't it? Jesus is telling his disciples a story about a rich man. We find out later in the story that this rich man is probably an absentee landlord. Details in the story later on would indicate that. He owns property. He has tenants on that property who raise the crops, do the work, and then they are to give him a portion of that. He has a manager, and this manager is accused of mismanaging his property. Now, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't say that he actually did mismanage the property. He said that he was charged with it, and that word came back to the rich landowner. So the rich landowner called him in and said, "I've heard you're mismanaging my property. You have to give an account of everything that you've done. You have to let me know everything that you've done, and you can no longer be my manager." Well, the manager started thinking, if I'm out of a job, what am I going to do? I mean, he was kind of like me. He was too old to do hard work, and he was too proud to beg. So he thought, "I know what I'll do. I will make me some friends, so if I ever wind up without a place to stay, they might at least be willing to show me the kindness of taking me in. So he went to one of the tenants. Now, I need to give you a moment of full disclosure here. My grandfather was a tenant on little farms in Montgomery County. My family went from farm to farm to farm each year, giving the landowner a part of everything they grew, and they wound up with basically nothing. So this story is going to be told with a special attention to the tenants. He goes to one tenant and he says, "What do you owe, my master? What's the agreement that you made of all the olives that you grew and all the olive oil that you produced? How much do you owe the master?" He said, 100 gallons. So the manager says, "Take that contract, mark through the 100, write 50. Good deal if you can get it, right? He just showed a kindness to the person who in this story is the lowest person on the totem pole. In this social stratification, you have the rich man landowner, you have the manager who serves him, and then you have the tenants. Within this story, they are the lowest people in the social strata. He just did a kindness. I mean, after all, you who rent in Nashville, wouldn't you like your rent cut by half? Wouldn't you like your mortgage cut by half? He goes to another tenant. This tenant grows wheat. And he says, "Okay, the grain that you grow, how much do you owe the master?" He said, "Well, we owe him 100 bushels. The manager said, "Mark through that 100 and write 80. 20% discount. Even that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?" So he goes to all of these tenants, reducing the amount that they're going to have to give to the master, which means it increases the amount they can keep for themselves, which means they might actually have a chance to no longer be tenants. He's giving them a chance in life within that society, even though he's doing it because it's in his self-interest. So, of course, we all see where this story is going, don't we? He goes back to the master. He makes his report that that person who owed him 100 gallons of olive oil now only owes 50. This person who owed him 100 bushels of wheat only owes 80. And the master not only fires him, but says, "You're going to have to repay all that money out of your commission." Not in Jesus' story. That's not what happens. No. The rich landowner commends the manager, brags on him for being so shrewd, for being so smart, that he would actually think to cut the amount that each of those tenants owes. Now, they're called debtors in the story. There are some scholars who would suggest that the master may never collect that debt anyway. At least he was going to get something, right? I don't know if that's the case or not. What I do know is that in this story, the manager, with all of his shrewdness, goes about investing in the people who are in the lowest place in society in the story. Isn't that interesting? We talk about investing in the stock market, or investing in mutual funds, or we talk about investing in a building or property. But we don't use that word as often when we talk about paying taxes for public schools and consider that investing in children. Or when our money goes to help subsidize a mother's child care so she can actually work, her child will be taken care of, and that family might actually have a chance to get beyond where they are in our society. We don't call that investing, but that's exactly what the manager does. He invests in the people who are on the margins. He invests in the people who are the least of these. Wait, we've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? In fact, Jesus lauds this kind of shrewdness. When he sends his disciples out earlier, he says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." But be as shrewd as serpents, wise as serpents, as gentle as doves. And he even instructs them on how to do that. Years ago, Walter Wink reframed my understanding of what Jesus meant when he said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him also your left. You see, if you're going to strike somebody on the right cheek, you're going to use the back of your hand. In the ancient world, that's how you struck slaves, children, and women. Sorry about that. People who were your lessers. If you struck an equal, you would strike an equal with your open palm, like that. So in essence, Wink's understanding is that what Jesus was saying is not be a doormat. It is saying, if you're going to strike me like a slave, now strike me like an equal, because that's what I am. A little subversive. Wink also reframed the idea that if someone forces you to carry a pack a mile, carry it too, because under Roman law, you could be forced to carry a Roman soldier's pack a mile, but if you were forced to carry it longer than that, it was the soldier who got in trouble. Still a little subversive. Jesus, in his own way, practiced this shrewdness, right? He practiced this wise as serpents, but gentle as doves strategy. Because you see, Jesus knew that if you were going to overturn the way the world does things, you're going to have to act in exactly the opposite way that people expect. And that's exactly what he's doing here. There's a story about Desmond Tutu, that Desmond Tutu told, actually, about the time when apartheid was in effect in South Africa. And if a black South African and a white South African were approaching each other on a sidewalk, it was expected that the black South African or the colored South African would step aside and allow the white South African to continue. He tells a story about a woman who had several children with her. She was walking on a sidewalk when she was approached by a single white male South African. His expectation, given the law, was that she would step aside. Her expectation was that she was supposed to step aside, but she did not. They met face to face on that sidewalk, and the white South African said, "Step aside, because I do not step aside for gorillas." She stepped aside, taking her children with her, and said, "Oh, but I do." A little subversive there, right? Just a little subversive. Jesus is trying to help us understand that if people in the world can use their money in smart ways, that we who follow Jesus can use all of our resources in ways that not only contribute to those who are at the lowest rung on the social ladder, but also mean that our wealth is not our master, it is our servant. There are those who have said that before. Wealth is a great servant, terrible master. He's not speaking against people who are wealthy. What he is judging is how we put that wealth to use. Where do we invest what we have been given? The manager, even though it's in his self-interest, does a favor for the tenants. What most of us don't see is that when we help folks who are marginalized, folks who are on the street, when we help children who may not have the greatest home life, we are actually investing in them in our own self-interest. As I used to tell people, when you invest in a child's education, it may make the difference between that child coming to your place of business to repair your computer or breaking into your place of business to steal your computer. We don't often see what Jesus points out in this story, it is in our self-interest to help the poor, to serve the least of these. Not just in this world, but in the next. Jesus doesn't want us to be naive. Jesus doesn't want us to be doormats. But he also doesn't want us to use the same tactics that the world uses. Violence, repression. We are to defeat those with smart tactics. We are to defeat those by being as shrewd as serpents, but at the same time, as gentle as doves. I'm going to close with my favorite Jewish teaching story on this. This has to do with not just a rich man, but a king. This king has a servant. This servant is not a manager, but he is the court jester. And for many years, the jester had served the king. And a jester's role is to make fun of everyone, including the king. But as the king got older, he started getting more and more crotchety. You know, some of us do that, I'm told. He was less open to the humor that the jester wanted to share, especially when it pointed to him. Until one day, the jester finally crossed a line, and the king said, "You are out of a job. You're going to prison." So he threw him in the dungeon, brought him into the court, and said, "I'll give you one last chance. Take back what you said that you thought was so funny that was not humorous at all, and I will allow you to live." Well, you know, the jester was always the funniest guy in the class, so he couldn't let the opportunity pass for making one more joke, which he did, which was not the right thing to do. So the king said, "Fine, you are condemned to die." Well, now that shook the jester a little bit. But the jester, always thinking, said, "Your master, I accept your verdict, but I've served you loyally and well for many, many, many years. If you would grant me one wish, may I choose the manner of my death?" The king said, "Fine, you can choose the manner of your death. I have men with ropes to hang you. I have men with axes to chop off your head. I have even more painful ways to see you die. Choose the manner of your death." The jester said, "Thank you, your majesty. I choose old age." I just hope that in my dealings with all of those out there, I can be like that little boy who kept taking the nickels. I hope I can be like that manager who knew that if you wanted to invest, you invested in the least of these. I hope I can be as sharp as that jester who chose death by aging. I hope I can be as shrewd as a serpent, and yet at the same time as gentle as a dove. I hope that for you as well. When we affirm our faith, we go to our tradition, and one of our favorite traditions here is to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we tell our story of faith with the help of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone.
To love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following our service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. If you are a student, either graduate or undergraduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following this worship service. They will gather together in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We also invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our worship service. Today we offer our sympathy to a couple of families within our congregation. We offer our sympathy to Richard Heron and his family who are mourning the death of his grandmother, Ava Waller Lamar, who died July the 16th in Atlanta, Georgia. We also offer our sympathy to Ann Neff and her family who are mourning the death of her mother, Ada Lori Thomas, who died September the 12th in Bethany, Missouri. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, you are the salve of the soul. Hear now our intercessions. We pray for a world that is complicated and confusing. We often have no idea how to live well. As the world and our lives shift at such a fast speed, we feel weak and helpless. Offer us your courage and wisdom, merciful God, to withstand the shifting sands of our time. We are grateful for the scriptures and for its wisdom, even when we don't fully understand it. We give you thanks, O God, for your Son, Jesus, who can also confuse us as he calls us to love and live in ways that are very different from the world. We rest in the knowledge of your wisdom and mercy. And even as we thank you, we plead for your mercy. We ask for your mercy for us when we become distracted by money or making poor choices. Grant your love and care to those who barely make ends meet and feel they have no one to help them. May your mercy surround those who live in places in the world where chaos reigns, even when it feels like it is in our own backyard, where clean water is just a dream, and where violence has become an everyday occurrence. We lift our silent prayers for all those who suffer. O God, we trust that you hear us when we cry out, when we complain, when we whisper, when our words for you are angry, and when we have no words for you at all. In your mercy, hear us and help us not because of our goodness, but because you love us. And now, as beloved children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As God's beloved children, let us be faithful in the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Now go forth as shrewd as serpents and yet as gentle as doves to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God's love is over all creation. Jesus Christ is God's love walking among us, within us, around us, and the Holy Spirit. That is our opportunity to follow Jesus' example. Will be with us now and forever. Go in peace.